Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
If Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji decide on Brady Cook, if either one of those two guys are healthy, then there is no doubt in my mind that they're trying to lose the rest of the games. Fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's a fair thing, yes. That from an organizational standpoint, I could see it. Not from the coaching and the players' perspective, I don't see that. Because that's how you get hurt. You know, that's you go out there and you half ass it. That's not the way it's gonna go down for the players. So that means they'll have to endure the final 3 weeks of the season if they lose all their games. Just be totally tortured by their fan base, by this radio station, by everybody on social media. And then if somehow, some way, they were able to finagle themselves to the number one overall pick, everybody will forget this year.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody will forget this year because it will be Fernando Mendoza who they're going to pick. And that's who their quarterback will be. So they'll have their young quarterback. They won't have to trade any of their other assets to go up and get that quarterback. And now they can start to build around that quarterback.
It's the best case scenario for them. And I know the other side of this, and you never know about these guys and everything else. I mean, there's two types of personalities, I think, that the Jet quarterback can be. And one of them is the Fernando Mendoza personality, which is like he truly believes that he can do anything because of what has gone on in his life up until this point.
Sure.
And by the way, like to be, and I know Frank Cignetti has a lot to do with this. Well, not Frank. His son is, his father is Frank. Kurt Cignetti has a lot to do with this. But the fact that Fernando Mendoza is the quarterback for the first time that Indiana's ever been ranked number one in the country is a big deal when you're trying to turn around another franchise that never seems to be number one in anything but losing. So that mentality I would love in a Jets quarterback. The other mentality is the Baker Mayfield chip on the shoulder, F everybody, I'm going balls to the wall 100%. Totally different type of guy, But those two personalities are like, you know, and the Sam Darnold personality, as great as he's been, was not the right one here. You know, the Zach Wilson one was not the right one here. But I do believe Fernando Mendoza could be the right one, as cheesy as he comes across sometimes. That guy believes that he could do anything. Plus, he wouldn't force his way out of the Jets. There's no way. He would take that challenge on right head on. So I do think that Darren Mooji and the Jets want to have that number one overall pick without having to trade up to get it.
What's going to be interesting is watching how New Orleans plays this game this week. You know, New Orleans has actually been playing tough. They upset the Panthers last week.
Yeah, I mean, they're up to 4 wins now.
Yeah, so the Giants went down there and lost. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, how could you forget 5 turnovers in a row, right?
That was the second start, I think, of Jackson Dorks.
It was, yeah. I mean, after...
Cam Scataboo fumble a ball in that game, I believe.
Yeah, and then that was right after the Charger game, right? So they beat the Chargers, then they lose to the Saints, and then they end up beating the Eagles, right?
Yes.
God, it feels like a year ago now that happened. Yeah, I mean, it's really the Raiders. I don't think the Jets are going to win another game. It's the Raiders. And it's, can the Raiders beat the Giants or...
But if they beat the Giants, then the Giants are going to stay the number one spot.
But the Giants don't need a quarterback, so that's one of those teams you could trade with. You know?
But I'm just trying to say, is there any, you know...
You need the Raiders to beat the Chiefs in Week 18.
You know what we thought? We thought last week, I said, I thought the Jets would have the Giants would have a better record than the Jets.
So did I, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Sunday happens against the Commanders, who were shut out the week before by 9 and his teammates in Minnesota, and then they come in and they beat the Giants.
Yeah. I still think the Giants could win a couple games here, believe it or not. But the Jets are not. So really what you want to guarantee it is the Raiders to beat the Chiefs in Week 18. Like, to have some sort of Pete Carroll sending off type of deal, you know? Like, hey, this is my last game. Something like that to inspire the team to play. That's what you need, because the Raiders are the biggest problem in this whole thing.
Yes.
By far. They're a bigger problem than the Giants. They're a bigger problem than the Cardinals. They're a bigger problem than anybody. Now, if the Cardinals lose out, because they also have 3. So there's a couple teams with 3 losses that I don't know at the end of this who's going to get the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you got to wait until strength of schedule and things of that nature.
And that changes every week.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, you're going to need Cleveland maybe to lose. But Cleveland's going to have to lose another game potentially.
Problem with the Jets. Well, the Jets have a strength of schedule right now anyway that is 4th.
Yeah.
Actually, Arizona's got a tougher strength of schedule, but for some reason they're behind the Jets, and I'm not sure why. But... 3-14.
Yeah. And that was what the Giants were last year.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the Giants have a chance to do that back-to-back years. I mean, I don't know how. So here's a question for you. Let's say the Giants end up with the number one overall pick. Mendoza's going to be the guy who goes number one. They're shopping that pick. The Jets have the best offer because they got all this draft capital. Do they hesitate in helping the Jets get their franchise quarterback because of it's not as big of a rivalry as some of the other in-state or in-town rivalries that we have, but would they hesitate doing that?
If you are the GM of the Giants, it's not about the Jets. It's about what you can receive for that pick, and then you have to evaluate what's being offered by however many teams are offering something. And you got to make the best decision for your franchise. That's it. Doesn't matter. They had Leonard Williams traded over from the Jets to the Giants.
It's different, though, when you're giving the team potentially their franchise quarterback. That's different. Well, you know, Leonard Williams is whatever.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, it may be too rich for the Jets. Maybe Darren Mooji is going to wait. Who knows? I mean, like, or they'll take a flyer on somebody in the second or third round and see if they got something. And, I mean, that's why they're playing Brady Cook right now.
Bottom line is the Jets are going to need some help to get up there.
Yeah, of course
they're really going to need some help.
Right now, they're 5th on the list. So they're the 5th overall draft pick right now. And, you know, what is 3-14 going to get them?
Yeah, I mean,
you need the Giants and Vegas. So one of those teams is winning because they're playing each other.
Yeah, right. So you have that. But what about Cleveland? Because you would assume that they're going to stick with Cam Ward in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, because he's going to get a new coach. And, you know, he and whoever that new coach is inheriting a second-year first overall draft pick.
Cleveland's going to be a problem too, man. So they host the Bills, then host Pittsburgh. They go to Cincinnati the last week. Now, I don't know what Cincinnati's going to look like in that week, but Cleveland's going to be an issue.
Cincinnati
now,
quit last week.
I will say, though, that their strength of schedule will go up significantly, Cleveland, by playing the Bills and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks. But then it'll go back down with the Bengals. But still, where are the Jets? Let's hope that. So, but that's actually a bad thing, right? Isn't that a bad thing? That the strength, because the strength of, no, wait. The worst strength of schedule is what you want, not the best strength of schedule, right? Yes. So what you want is the worst strength. So if you have the worst record with the worst strength of schedule, that's when you get the pick.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so in other words, the Jets with a 536 strength of schedule, if they were tied, let's say today, with Las Vegas, with a 548 strength of schedule,
yeah,
the Jets would be above them.
Yes. Yeah, so the Browns,
because that's exactly where the Giants are. The Giants are at 536, just like the Jets are with strength of schedule.
Yeah.
The Raiders are at 548.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why the Giants have the number one pick right now.
Exactly. So the worst strength of schedule is what you want. So the Browns playing the Bills and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks
is going to help them.
Yes. Now, the Jets, as we've gone over their schedule a million times.
Well, they're playing the Saints. That's going to decrease it.
But then they also have the Patriots and the Bills.
Right.
So it's going to be close, man. But the, you know, the Saints, so the Bengals are 4-10. The Saints are 4. It's the same thing. Essentially the same exact thing. But the Patriots actually have a better record than the Steelers. So you're going to need some of these teams to win is the bottom line. You're going to need the Giants. You're going to need more than one of these teams to win. You're going to need the Giants,
the Titans,
the Raiders, and the Browns. I mean, it's going to be tough to get up there, man, without having
What about Arizona?
Yeah, it's another one. I mean, they're right there with three wins too.
What does their schedule look like?
Let's see.
Well, either way, you know,
they've got the Falcons, the Bengals, and the Rams. So they're going to, I mean, they got two bad teams in there.
It'd be interesting to see what the Rams do. If the Rams secure the number one seed and they have to play them the last game of the season.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah.
Now, if they don't secure the number one seed and are like the fifth seed,
mm-hmm.
then I could see them taking that game as an off game, like the off week for Matthew Stafford not to play. And,
yeah.
You know, I could see that going on.
This is going to be great. Like, this will be the most exciting part of the season for the Jets and Giants right now is scoreboard watching with these other teams and trying to get wins out of them.
Exactly. Gary and Brewster, what's happening?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to make a point about Brady Cook.
Yeah.
Since you were talking about quarterback personalities, I don't follow the NFL very much, but I've been a Mizzou fan for 50 years, and I just want people to know Brady Cook is one determined young man. It was his boyhood dream to be Mizzou's quarterback, and he made it. And he took nothing but abuse and bad luck for the first year and a half. And he did nothing but get better. He will run through walls to win a game. Now, I can't vouch for his NFL level skills. Like I say, I don't follow the NFL very much. But you guys should know this kid will play, and his teammates will play for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's seen everything I know about him. Gary, he seems like a great kid who's getting an opportunity. However, He's getting this chance. The best case scenario for him is he's a backup quarterback somewhere. I would be shocked if he plays so well down the stretch that he ends up starting games with the Jets next year. The Jets are going to need to do better than Brady Cook if they want to go anywhere. But yeah, I don't want to disparage the kid, but he's not the future of this team. He's just not. Nor should he be.
Yeah, I'm not, like I was saying last week, I don't want to in any way, shape, or form demean him and what his opportunity is right now for him, because this is an opportunity.
Sure.
It's like an opportunity for Shedeur Sanders out in Cleveland. You know, he was a seventh-round draft choice or wherever the hell he was drafted. I mean, like, these kids, you don't get this opportunity very often to be able to start an NFL, real NFL game, and do it, like, in 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And if you show that you're getting better each and every week, they're going to keep you. You know, if you get worse or you give some stupid comment in a press conference after the game or something, you know, see ya. But yeah. So these kids got opportunities. That's all they can ask for. Now it's up to him to show us.
Brian in Union, New Jersey. What's going on, Brian? Brian?
Oh, Brian.
Brian's a chihuahua, I guess. Yeah. Brian, what do you think about Mendoza? Brian, are you still there? I'll do what I did with that other guy one more time.
Okay.
Brian! Brian and Union!
One more time. Just one last time.
Brian!
Are you guys talking to me?
Yeah!
We're talking to you
every time. What's up, Brian? Hey, you got a yappy dog back there too, Brian, huh?
I'm sorry. No,
no, it's okay.
Like typical. I got the maintenance guy to finally come help me right as you guys take my call.
Well, sorry about that, but you're on the air now, so let's hear what you got.
So, lifelong Jets fan. I'm 45 years old. I've seen so many draft mishaps along the way where I'm screaming at the television. I wanted to take a long-term approach for once and not look at the Band-Aid. Like, when we got Zach Wilson, for example, we had to go win a game week 16 when we could have had Trevor Lawrence, and they say, well, we'll just take the next best quarterback available, even though the gap between 1 and 2 was humongous. All the Mel Kuypers or everything that I'm reading about the drafts are saying this is a weak quarterback class. Next year is the year. Let's sign somebody. I don't care if it's Cousins, like whoever's available. And, you know, we got even more picks next year if we need to move up. I want to, like, go after Arch Manning or whoever else proves themselves.
So you're okay with going? I'm just bringing a hypothetical up. You know, let's say they don't get Mendoza, and let's say they do bring in a, you know, stopgap quarterback, which they'll have to do, unless Brady Cook does something here at the end of the year here that just blows everybody away. I mean, is there you want to go through another 3-14 season?
I mean, 3-14 seasons are rough, but if that means that we're going to be close to the top and our picks will definitely get us to number one, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But we need so much help, and we've got all these picks. Honestly, I think if we use them smart, we'll be about a 500 team. And we're not going to probably get the number one pick, but we'll see what we can get. Because next year there should be a lot of good quarterbacks coming out from what I'm
hearing. And it doesn't always have to be the number one pick, by the way, Brian, and you're right. It doesn't always have to be the number one overall pick. I mean, look what, to me, it's always about coach and quarterback pairings. So when you think of Sean Payton drafting Bo Nix, and think about how Sean probably coaches him, or the way that Ben Johnson is coaching Caleb Williams in Chicago right now. And you see the way that Cignetti was coaching Fernando Mendoza at Indiana. Like, Cignetti's a maniac.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, he's like Ben Johnson. He's just the same way. Like a crazy person. You know, which is great. They got a chip on their shoulder. They're great coaches. They get, yeah, we work smarter, not harder. That's his deal. Okay. We only practice 6 hours a week, but we really work on the details, which is his whole thing. So to me, it's like, that's the coach quarterback pairing you're looking for. And, you know, is it Aaron Glenn and Fernando Mendoza? Does that feel right to you?
I mean, Aaron Glenn and anybody doesn't feel great to me, but I will say that if Fernando Mendoza is that guy, he will lift Aaron Glenn as a head coach like we've seen with other guys. Like, Zach Taylor was a head coach of a team that won an AFC championship because Joe Burrow had this unbelievable season. Do I think that Zach Taylor could do the same thing as a Jet head coach with a bad quarterback? No, I don't. So it's really, to me, I think Aaron Glenn is competent enough to have a star quarterback and win, But
it really depends on who that offense coordinator is.
Yeah.
That's what it's really going to come down to. And, you know, if they're lucky enough to select this kid. I mean, this kid checks every single box, man.
Well, I just like the fact that, you know, the Jets need certain type of people. And, like, this guy is not, he's not going to be the person. Because I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it happen with Eli. I wouldn't be surprised if Arch Manning came out and the Jets had the number one pick. That they were like, we're not going to the Jets. Like, no way are we doing that. Like, and Mendoza's not going to do that. He's going to be like, hell yeah, I want that challenge. Give me the worst team that's ever lived. I'm going to turn him around.
That's exactly right. That's the personality he has. He's a very positive young man, without question. That's why, you know, when I saw his interview about, was 7 or 8 weeks ago, and this was this whole thing about, you know, his mom and his whole story and, you know, the fact that he wasn't really thought of as a great high school football player and and somehow he ends up at Cal, and the next thing you know, he's in Indiana, and he's leading his team to an undefeated Big Ten championship. I mean, so it is a great story, and his humble nature, his humility that he has, I think, is like one of the things that everybody in the NFL is going to want. They're going to want that personality.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So we're just talking about Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa and the benching of Tua and why he would do it now. And one of the theories that I had was maybe he has been told by ownership or whomever over there in that building saying, we got to see some guts from you if you want to stick around here. You've been trampled by this roster. We feel like the players have not respected you. You got to show me something from here on out, more than just winning some games, but show me you can actually be in charge of these guys. And this would be something maybe that he would think would fit that description. So Mike Florio did a similar thing with the Jets, where he was looking into a move that Aaron Glenn made and said this is why he thinks he made it. And that move was firing defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. And Mike Florio said what strikes him as odd is that Aaron Glenn is a defensive guy. And this was a move that he made. He brought him in, and the defense is terrible. And if the defense has been terrible, how come you haven't gotten more involved up until this point? He said it's playing too close to the fire, is what Mike Florio said. And then after that, he dropped the bomb on Jet fans, saying, I still think there's a chance he's one and done as the head coach in New York. Now, this is why I disagree with this. Early on in the season, when he was completely overwhelmed, he's fighting with the media, and they hadn't won a game, I threw that out there, that if this continues on this track, there's maybe a chance that he's a one and done. But since then, they have won three games. They have also traded away players for the future. He doesn't have a roster. The biggest part of him coming back, though, next year is what's going on with the quarterback position right now. You cannot take away two good defensive players in a trade, then throw out a rookie quarterback when these other guys, who I think are probably available but not available in air quotes, throw out this rookie in the last part of the season and then fire the coach because you're not winning games. I mean, this is a organizational tear it down to the studs situation. And as much as I disagreed with some of the things that Aaron Glenn did early on in the season, it's not fair to move on from him after 1 year when this is what he's got to work with. So that's why I believe Brady Cook being the starting quarterback and everybody being in agreement on that shows me that Aaron Glenn will be back next year, because they're all saying, hey, let's see what we got with this young kid. But if we lose, ain't that big of a deal, because we're going to be moving up in the draft and maybe we get our quarterback of the future.
You know, when you said what you said and when Mike Florio said what he said, I wasn't surprised. I'm not surprised that there are people that could be thinking that way. And you never know what's going on inside the building. You hope that it's organized. You hope that everybody's on the same page. You hope that, you know, he's running the building like, you know, he's in charge. And that's the way he should be doing it. And that's the way he's acting in his press conferences. So I didn't like the hiring of Steve Wilks at the beginning of the year. You heard me tell you that. And now that he's fired, you know, all the way through the season here, I wasn't surprised by that either. I mean, simply because... especially after what the players were saying after the game last week. I mean, that the part of the coach, okay, look, we have meetings, we have to communicate, we have to learn our assignments. That is on the coaching staff. They are teachers in those meeting rooms. They are teachers out on the practice field. It's not just about the physical presence of the player. It's got to be the mental IQ's got to be there, and you got to tap into that as a coach, and you got to get the most out of your players. And that's why I think that they went for Aaron Glenn, because of the way I think they probably saw a lot of video from him from Hard Knocks, talking to his defense when he was in Detroit, and you know, he was totally in command of the room. And I think he is in command of the room, and I do think he is getting some sound advice from Bill Parcells. That's why I don't think that they will fire him.
Yeah, and also it's funny how people see things completely differently. So, and Mike Florio is a guy who covers the whole league, so he's not dealing with it day to day. Obviously, has a lot of contacts and knows what he's talking about. But when I saw the firing of Steve Wilks, I thought that was a major positive in Aaron Glenn's corner, and Mike Florio saw it as a major negative, yeah. As if like, wow, I mean, the defense is this bad and you're a defensive head coach. Like, this is not a good sign for you. But for me, what it showed was true leadership. Like, he knows he's got this shot and he knows that that wasn't good enough. And regardless of the respect that he might have had for Steve Wilks or the friendship they had, like, this is horrendous. Like, this is so bad. I can't even keep you to the end of the season. And that, to me, showed more leadership than a lot of the things that he's done already this season. So he may ultimately be the wrong guy for the Jets, and as much as I've been on Aaron Glenn from the beginning, it is absolutely 100%, even in a cutthroat business, not fair to give him this team for the rest of the year and then fire him at the end of the year.
You know, and again, you are right. Mike is plugged in. There's no question about it, and I could understand why Mike would see it the way that he did. You know, the performance on the field speaks for itself, and the disorganization and the mistakes and the guys running wide open and how soft the secondary was. There is no pass rush. There is no blitz. There's no energy. Like, defense has got to be energized. You know, it's got to be when you see a defense that's playing, you know, great. Let's say the Broncos, the Chargers, the Texans, you watch their defenses, man, there's always like six or seven guys in the final frame of the tackle. You know, that everybody's running to the ball. Everybody's trying to make a play. Everybody's trying to create a turnover, something that the Jets can't do.
Yeah.
They have not created any turnovers. They can't get an interception. It's crazy what's going on with them. And I'm like, okay, so somebody's got to pay the price. And that's where the older kind of, I don't know, I just want to say relaxed defensive coordinator with a young team and a new scheme is not going to work. You know, I knew it wasn't going to work. It's obvious because the track record's there of the coach. So could the coach coach a position, or could he be an advisor to the head coach? Could he be an assistant head coach? Yes. But you got to have somebody on defense that is nails. That is Rex Ryan. That was who Rex Ryan was. That personality transferred to the players and the way they played. And Bart Scott was right in the middle of that thing, and he was the leader of that defense. And when they played, they swarmed after people. They really did. And that's what's missing here. It's not just some players that you've traded away that, you know, Quinton Williams has turned out to be pretty good for the Cowboys. Unfortunately, Sauce Gardner's hurt. But, you know, what they're looking for now are going to be players that are going to buy into what they're selling. And that's why I don't think that they're going to, this is a one and done with Aaron Glenn, because Darren Mooji's made all these moves.
Yeah, but this is also the one thing that I would put Mike Florio's, he didn't say this, but in the sense that it could be a one and done, is this is where it becomes weird. So if we're evaluating this season, Darren Mooji, what he's done, even though he hasn't made the picks yet, super impressed by what he's done.
100%.
Aaron Glenn, not so impressed with what he's done. Aaron Glenn was hired before Darren Mooji. If I'm in that building and I'm assessing these two guys' jobs, and Darren Mooji knocks on my door, if I'm Woody Johnson or Christopher Johnson, and goes, hey, just want to let you know, I know you've praised me for the things that I've done here so far and you respect my opinion. We might want to look into a different head coach, because they had no connection prior to this. And this is why.
Well, other than the fact that they were in the Parcells web, you know, they were.
Right, but personally,
was,
between
one
themselves.
One was with Sean Payton, and I'm sure they knew each other from somewhere along the line. They've met somewhere. But one was with Sean Payton, one was with Dan Campbell. Both came with high, you know, accolades from both of their previous franchises, and they put them together. So I can't say enough about what this novice of a GM has done. I mean, he's really done a great job to the point where they have the most draft capital going into this draft this year.
Yeah, hardest part yet to come, but he has set himself up perfectly. So that's just something to keep an eye on, too, is that relationship. And, you know, everybody's praising Darren Mooji like us, I mean, throughout the league of what he's been able to do. And people have been slamming Aaron Glenn. And you know that the Jets and Woody pay way too much attention to that stuff. So if I were to make a case for a one and done, that's what I would use. But I still stand by the fact that it's just not fair. You can't strip down the team like this, toss out Brady Cook again, and say, hey, you know, Aaron, sorry you couldn't get enough out of this group. I mean, he doesn't have players. And since C.J. Mosley hasn't been on that defense, they haven't had a real leader there.
It's like, supposed to be Quincy.
But they benched him.
Yeah, I know they did.
Because he was so bad. So he's clearly not the leader. Yeah. They don't have a guy on that roster right now who's even close to being that. So not only do you need that defensive coordinator personality, you got to throw somebody. When you brought up Bart Scott, I mean, it, you know, that rang a bell, because I'm thinking they need somebody like that to come in here
as a player.
Yes, as a player to come in and be like, all right, this is the way we're doing things. And even though the Jets defense was slightly overrated in those years that they were better, they were still a pretty good defense, and CJ Mosley was the unquestioned leader, and they never replaced that.
They got to find their Fred Warner is who they got to find.
Yeah,
you know, at that position. You know, that linebacker, that sideline to sideline, that's Ray Lewis.
Brian Urlacher, Luke Kuechly, Fred Warner.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. There's a lot, but they're all Hall of Famers.
Well, yeah, right. But I mean,
good luck finding those guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
My brain's in shambles trying to get a sense of how the ultimate NFL draft order is going to shake out. I don't know. I don't know. There's just so many different possibilities and machinations. And obviously that Colts thing, you know, that was at one point 28 or 29. I spent a little time on that earlier, but I mean, they've lost four straight. I don't think they win again. I really don't. There's certainly going to be dogs in every game. And if they win, it's maybe one. And I don't even think that they're going to win one. So based on the numbers, and a lot of this is obviously, you know, taking the numbers and strength of schedule, and you've got to take a leap of faith to an extent. But there is a chance that Colts, it would have to be perfect for the Jets, and that's not going to happen. Like a million variables would have to strike, and it's just highly improbable. But if it did, then that Colts move would actually, or that Colts pick would move into the top 10. I think it's probably going to settle around 15, you know, kind of splitting some of those numbers. But right now it's 18, and the Giants have the top spot. Vegas is number two. Giants don't need a quarterback. Vegas does. Pete Carroll's done a horrendous job there. Wow. The Tennessee Titans have the same two wins as the Giants in Vegas, but they've got their quarterback, you would think. Listen, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what the Browns are thinking. Number one, because they're the Browns. And number two, because Sanders has put some good things on tape, but then he's also made a lot of mistakes. So, I mean, you have to think they're taking a quarterback, right? You'd have to think. Unless Sanders, you know, lights it up the last game or two. And then you got the Jets and the Cardinals, who were three wins. Wow. The Saints game was wild. That was one. So I was locked into, they were both ugly. I'm locked into the Colts-Seattle game where my guy Myers, Jason Myers from Marist, helps us out, bangs in a 54-yarder after the Colts hit a 60-yarder, and Rivers had a 3rd and 8. I mean, I'm like, come on, just don't tell me that this 45-year-old grandpa is going to just come off the couch and just stick it to the Jets. And I love Rivers. I say that with a smile, but the Jets got a little lucky there. And then the Jets got a lot lucky with that 15-yard late hit when the Saints just little quarterback keeper up the middle, and I think he gained Shuck about 7 or 8 yards in a late hit. There's the flag, 15 yards, bang, 47 yards out. It's good. So it was pretty nuts, and that's where we are. Another year, just kind of, you know, scoreboard watching. That's basically the entire season for the Jets and the Giants. Way too many years. All right, FAN talk on the NFL is brought to you by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let me get, how about John in Freehold? John is on the fan. What's going on, John?
Hey, BT. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. What's up?
I wish you a lot of prosperity and good luck and a wonderful holiday season for you and your family. I wish you the best.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, John. Thank you very much, buddy.
Listen, I know you, I, and the rest of the Jet fans are desperate for that franchise quarterback, BT, but I just hope that Aaron Mooji and Aaron Glenn and the rest of the staff have the patience and the fortitude not to do something silly and stupid. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the Jets trading up with the Giants or someone else to get the franchise quarterback. I don't know how you feel, BT, but the Jets have so many holes. They need so many, you know, playmakers on both sides of the football to rebuild this franchise. And when I look at Mendoza, BT, this guy doesn't splash off the screen to me. I don't see a slam dunk, can't miss franchise Super Bowl, you know, potential winning quarterback being drafted with the number one overall pick. So
I agree.
That being said, they really got to do their due diligence. They really got to do their homework, and they got to have 100% assurance that whoever they pick, if they move, you know, wind up moving up, that guy's going to be a hit. It's going to be a home run move, and it's going to work to get them that franchise quarterback and eventually build them into a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, but John, the problem is there is no 100% guarantee. You could be 95%, and the 5% miss rate is the one that hits. You don't know.
No, but in a lot of cases, BT, like I said, a guy just splashes off the film for
you. I hear you.
And I just don't see anybody in this current class coming out having that. So with that being said, I'm going best player available. I'm fortifying this roster with playmakers on both sides of the football.
Yeah.
You don't need a franchise receiver to play opposite Garrett Wilson. You know they need some fatties on the defensive front line to stop the run with defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
They need another edge rusher. And they're probably going to have to replace John Simpson with a better upgrade and a better answer at the tackle position to finish fortifying that offensive line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the best thing you could say about this team with the horrendous season they had is they probably have the best special teams unit in the league right now, and they're fun to watch. So at least you fortified that, and you feel hopeful with that going forward.
John, I think you also made it seem like the O-line. I don't think that I'd necessarily disagree about Simpson, but the O-line is a strength, and thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, the Giants and the Jets could go myriad directions. I mean, you want to take a linebacker, top the draft, get the kid from Ohio State, Reese. You want to do that? The kid, you need somebody to get to the quarterback like the Jets absolutely do. Get the kid Bain from Miami. You could do that. I mean, Ohio State, Caleb Downs, safety. Go out there. Jets need a safety. So do the Giants. Go out there, do that. I mean, kid from Auburn, Falk, edge rusher. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that they can do. The one thing, at least about the Jets, it's very different than the Giants. Giants had their quarterback. If he's going to stay healthy, that's a different discussion. I hope so. I have no idea. All I can tell you is, does he have the requisite traits to be a stud? If I close my eyes, right, and the Giants magically, you know, hire the right GM, hire the right coach, draft the right people, do all the things they got to do. If that happens, big if, can I see in a couple of years with some maturation, can I see Jackson Dart hoisting a Lombardi trophy? I could. I love him. So it's different angles for the Jets and the Giants. But as I get back to the Jets here, you guys have to understand this. And I know what John's saying, like, don't just reach, right? Don't just move draft mountains. If you like somebody, you got to love them. Understood. Guys, they are not chained to our tortures like we are. Like, we operate through our Jets prism, and Muji and Glenn are operating through theirs. And theirs consists of 1 year. Ours consists of however old you are. Decades of pain. So while many of you are sitting here, I got to get the quarterback, got to get it. And when you think that way, you kind of speed up the mindset. You start to rush. You're a little desperate. And whether you're hasty and desperate or a combination of some other things that can really skew your mindset, you generally lose clarity in those situations because you start to imagine things that aren't there because you really need something. You're desperate. Oh, yeah, this guy's not that big, but man, I think he could be the, or man, this guy's good, but man, I wish he was a little bit quicker. Ah, we can work around that. Or, oh, he's accurate, but I wish he had a little more zip. Ah, we can do, that's fine. Because we're so desperate to find somebody to be a quarterback. They're not thinking that way, you know? When we were sitting here through the Idzik nightmare and the Maccagnan nightmare, and Joe Douglas actually drafted some good players, but in terms of the record, the Joe Douglas nightmare, they were in different spots. Denver, Detroit, you know, winning, having varying degrees of success. So when I say that they have not been chained, like the shackles of torture that we've carried with us forever, they don't feel that. And because they don't feel that, and they are looking at it as, you know, the way a healthy franchise should, not trying to overcome decades of hell, but just do it, build it out the right way, they've got a clear mind, and they've got a vision, and they're not going to speed it up, and they're not going to overreact or overreach just because some of you want them to because you're desperate. That's the beauty of a new regime. And that was part of the problem last year. Like, Dable and Shane, should they really come back? Are they going to draft just to save their asses? Is Dable going to coach just to save his behind? Those are things you don't have to worry about from the Jets' point of view. I'm saying yes to both deals.
Yeah, because you're desperate.
I am desperate. And here's the one thing I pause on, though, with that desperation. I mentioned earlier there was something I kind of learned watching the full allotment of Jets-Jaguars. And I already knew it, but sometimes you need to watch more and more and it gets ingrained in your head. I now pause a little bit more on saying yes to both of those trades.
Why?
I'll tell you why. The lack of talent on defense is mind-boggling, Teague.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a slap in the face last week and this week to look at, forget the results. The results suck. We get it. But you look at the individual players and you ask yourself, especially with AZ Thomas out, he didn't play yesterday. Who's going to be here when the Jets are good? Right. And the answer is not a lot of guys. No. And so if the answer is limited, it leads me to say, boy, they really are better off using all of these picks to just get better players as opposed to packaging it together for the dream at a quarterback. Now, push comes to shove, Teague. Am I trading 18 and 5 to get the quarterback? Yes. But the more you watch a game like Jacksonville and the game a week earlier, the more you at least have to take a deep breath and say, wow, we need players, bro.
Yeah, do we want to rush this? Do we want to like reconsider getting the quarterback or whatever it is and look at the depth issues that we have? Because even the guys a year ago, Quincy Williams was such a good linebacker for the Jets. You just felt like he had a long future. Would have been him and his brother, stalwarts forever. Obviously, they moved on from Quinnen, and he got the first interception of a Jet all season long playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
You bastard.
I know, my bad. But you saw Quincy still with the Jets getting absolutely roasted by Travis Etienne over and over and over again, whether it's a wheel route or whether it's an angle route. He scored 3 touchdowns, 3 receptions, and 73 yards. Like, they look like they didn't care to try, and that's bad.
Let's go to Kevin in Stony Brook. What's up, Kevin?
Yo, guys, how you doing? Listen, I'm Kevin. I'm already in the mood, and I hear this stuff. Jack and Darton trade should not be in the same sense. And the Mariners, when they're looking for a coach, and then probably a general manager, first thing freaking Mariners to say, Dart's not going anywhere. How do you feel about that?
I think that's the wrong approach. Kev, I understand.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Kev.
I understand you don't want to trade Jackson Dart, but forget that for a second. Put that aside. If you go into an interview process looking for a new head coach, and as the owner of the team, you set down ground rules of how the roster should be constructed, I think you're making a massive mistake. I personally think that is a massive mistake. I think you need to, look, your opinion on who you hire, and I think this is the way Sean phrased it, which I would agree with more, even though I still don't agree with it, could be based on their answers. That is totally fine. Like, hey, I like your game plan for this. I don't like your game plan for that. I'm going to hire this guy. But to sit down a potential coaching candidate and put ground rules down on the roster, are you going to even get the best coaching candidate if that's your game plan?
I'm not sure that any of the candidates are going to look at Jackson Dart and say, yeah, no, I don't want him. I think that they will appreciate who he is. And it's interesting watching the Jets game because we knew that Liam Cohen was just, he was an odd dude. We all were, from the very first press conference and the Duval scream that he said, it was kind of like, oh, dude, they might be in trouble. But sometimes when he's just authentic, it works. But I think even more importantly, you're seeing this with Ben Johnson, with Caleb Williams. You know, you're seeing it, obviously, with Trevor Lawrence, who's having his best season now with Liam Cohen. I want a head coach, or at the very least, an offensive coordinator like Josh McDaniels with Drake May, who's going to sit and collaborate with his quarterback, right? Not dictate to him what he should do, but sit and collaborate so that he and the quarterback are putting the best product for that quarterback out every single day. Right. And so I think there's a nuance to that. And so it's great to have a really good leader as the head coach. But you need somebody who, and I'm not saying Jackson Dart has the power to you know, veto a head coach. But if it's someone who can't communicate with the most important player on the field, you're going to have problems. I think that's what we're starting to see with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you see it all over this league. Look, think about the success that the Rams have had. Why is that? It's because Sean McVay and Matt Stafford are simpatico, right? They can figure it out together as opposed to just dictating what he's supposed to do.
Now, you have made very clear over the beginning of the show, you do not want to even have a conversation about the idea of using the number one overall pick on a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart.
No.
Even though 3 weeks ago, I put Tiki on the spot and asked him what would cause you to do that, and Tiki gave this answer. Take a listen.
So the question is, I'll go as far as it takes. When will one of the three of you break and say, screw it, I'll draft him and trade Jackson Dart?
If he beats Julian Sain in Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
Now, yeah, you know what happened, Evan?
You changed your mind?
Nope. Ryan Day tanked the game.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't want to face Alabama in the second round.
I think
I don't need to win the Big Ten championship.
I just
need to win the national championship.
I think we have all accepted that your view has changed, whether it was Ryan Day tanking or something else. That you have moved back. You've moved the goalpost slightly on when would you just say, screw it, I'm drafting Mendoza and trading Jackson Dart. And I respect that. And I accept your moving of the goalposts. But now I have to ask you the question.
It wouldn't be fair to you if we drafted Fernando Mendoza ever.
Why?
You've pined for him for, I don't know, months now.
I know. I didn't want him.
It would be like having a girlfriend and then taking your potential girlfriend.
Kind of like
how would that feel?
Kind of like what the Mets did to the Yankees with Juan Soto.
No, but you didn't have our girlfriend.
Or the Nets signing Kevin Durant over the Knicks. I mean, this has happened before. My question to you is this. And as you know, and everyone knows, the audio will be saved. What would have to happen over the next 3 weeks for you to say, I have to consider drafting Mendoza and potentially trading Jackson Dart?
Nothing.
What if Jackson Dart got hurt?
I mean, like tearing ACL hurt?
No, I think the concussion protocol thing happening again since he goes into the 10th every single game.
True, but we also saw this with Tua. For a couple of years where he was constantly getting concussed and everybody feared for his safety and career. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had one since. So it's a learning process.
Okay.
And by the way, watching that game yesterday, Jackson Dart did all the right things to avoid contact, which was something that I was impressed with.
So no injury, and I want to take away like the catastrophic injury. Like I want to take that away because it's putting something dark into the world.
Yeah, there's too many of those that happened yesterday.
How about what Mendoza does? How about beating Alabama and then beating Texas Tech and then beating Ohio State in a rematch? What if they win the national championship and he's impressive? Could that change your opinion?
No. You know what it would do?
What?
It would make the haul that the Giants are going to get being the number one overall pick because they're so bad this year even that more impressive.
So you are declaring today.
I'm done. I'm stuck on Dart.
Okay.
I'm stuck on Dart.
Okay. That's what I was asking.
I'm stuck on Dart.
And Tiki has learned his lesson. He's not making any offhanded jokes because I'll use it against him.
You're damn right.
Sean.
Because that was straight joke.
That doesn't sound like it when I play the clip.
It doesn't. But it was.
Does it? Does it? Sean.
It does.
All right. Sean,
it sounds like I'm serious.
It does. I know. Sean, is there anything that would change your mind on this?
No, because a funny thing has happened that I've declared yesterday. I think we've learned something about Jackson Dart that's very important. He's not injury prone because they keep throwing him in this blue tent and nothing keeps happening. So I've actually even more committed to him than
that
ever.
That doesn't make him not injury prone.
Six out of his seven trips have resulted in him coming back on the football field.
Everybody keeps throwing that blue tent stat out there. Well, how many actually result in a real injury?
No, I agree with that. I think that's more, and this is where I'll agree with you and a lot of Giant fans, it is clearly a reputation thing now.
Yeah.
And it is obnoxious, and it's a tough challenge that the NFL has because you want to be safe. Mm-hmm. You've said this before. Sometimes you wonder why guys aren't called off of the field when you could clearly identify that they suffered some kind of head injury.
Yep.
But in the case of Jackson Dart, they are clearly going the other way. But that doesn't prove he isn't injury prone. It just proves that the league right now has a scarlet letter on him.
Yeah, but if you have a concussion problem, wouldn't you be more susceptible every time your head gets hit like this that everybody thought? Clearly he's not.
No, but no one's saying he has a concussion problem yet. I think it was more, could this become a problem if he plays the game recklessly?
Okay, so I guess my point would be, to me, if you watch Jackson Dart play, there would be only one thing people could argue against him in this rookie year, and that would be, well, he just ended up in the blue tent too much, because everything else on the field has been that special.
The other thing, and I admit I keep this in mind, I try to learn lessons from not just life, I think we should all learn lessons from life, but I learn lessons from old sports opinions, right? So I mentioned earlier in the show, I screwed up as a Jet fan when Peyton Manning was available, and mm-hmm. so did Beningo, I think he'll admit it, when we said, we're not interested, we have Mark Sanchez. And clearly, I think at that point where the Jets are and what Sanchez had accomplished, we should have been more ruthless and said, screw it. If Peyton right. Manning wants to come here, go get the player. So the other lesson I'm learning from, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, because I do kind of forget a little bit on the details, was that after Daniel Jones's rookie season, in which we all liked him, not saying as much as Dart, but we liked him coming out of that Pat Shurmur year, there was links between the New York Giants and Justin Herbert.
Sure.
It existed. And the Giants could have taken Justin Herbert. They did not. They selected Andrew Thomas, which we're all happy with. Wonderful right. left tackle. That non-decision of saying, you know what, we like DJ, but we like this guy better. Let's face it, as good as Thomas was and is, that was a huge mistake. If Justin yeah. Herbert is more of a franchise yeah. quarterback than DJ is, so I am trying to learn from that mistake of, well, we just drafted yeah. him, he's our guy, we believe in him, as opposed to the ruthless view of, do I like this guy better? And if I do, have the balls to make a move.
Okay, I think there's a big difference between what you're saying between Sanchez. I actually got better examples what the Rams did with Goff, which is, I don't think the right move is to do it after a rookie year. And yes, that was a mistake with Herbert. The wrong move is after 2 or 3 years, still hanging on and asking what if.
Yeah, I think you still have questions.
Still have questions. I think 2 years is a good barometer to go, you know what, we're in another position here, take a peg. I think it's silly to do that after 1 year, because it could work the other way. You think the Browns don't regret what they've done with Baker Mayfield in the opposite direction? I think there's examples both ways. The rookie year and knowing he's shown that much promise, too early to pull a ripcord after 1 year.
Hey, our wonderful football teams. Lucky us. Well, at least the Mets are loading up, and they're giving you something to really, 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 truly look forward to. Not. Well, at least the Yankees are incredibly aggressive, and they're loading up, and they're crushing free agency so far. I don't think so. All right, so before I get back to the calls, one thing that I want to say about Brady Cook, obviously, he's a young kid. It's a great story. You know that I'm a sucker for this stuff, undrafted. Kind of like that, almost like that. I don't want to say a Hoosiers mentality. That's ridiculous, but more like a Rocky mentality. I love the underdogs. I could probably relate to it more than I could relate to the other stuff. So anytime somebody that kind of really overcomes the odds, I love. You got me. I mean, you got a fan for life. So I'm obviously hoping that Brady Cook could be somewhat viable moving forward. To what extent, I don't know. I'd like to see Garrett Wilson get out there for a game or two, and then, you know, see with Wilson and Mitchell and Michi and Breece Hall and a pretty good old line, get Mason Taylor back, who was inactive yesterday, who, you know, I love as a young tight end. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I think that Brady Cook is going to be this. I have no idea. Here's what I see. He's got a pretty good arm. He's got moxie. I think he's a pretty good leader. I wish he was a little bit bigger. He's got a little wiggle. He can move a little bit and obviously make some just bad decisions, which is to be expected as an undrafted rookie on a team that stinks. So all the Mendoza stuff and maybe trading with the Giants, and well, is Dante Moore coming out? What about Ty Simpson? Let me boil it down to three very different quarterback possibilities next year for the Jets. Now, the first option would be they draft the top quarterback, whether they have to trade up to get him or, you know, let's say they don't get first and the Raiders do and the Raiders take Mendoza, but somebody else comes out, Dante Moore, Ty Simpson, whatever, and they love one of those players and they draft a quarterback early, top 10 or even, you know, top 5 or so, right? That's obviously one route. And then if you do that, you would make sure to have a veteran there. And I think at that point, Tyrod Taylor, you know, if he wants to come back and play again, would fit the bill because he's a reliable vet and he's smart and he's a great teammate. And that's generally what you want with somebody that you're getting ready to hand the franchise off to. And then under that scenario, I could see Brady Cook coming back as QB3, or if they don't carry 3 too often, keep him on the practice squad, whatever. That's one situation. Now, the other situation, and I think that this is very, very possible, depending upon where they draft, You punt on, this is something we've talked about before. You punt on the quarterback for year one, and you attack it in 2027 with three first-round picks and a quarterback crop that's supposed to be pretty good. So you punt on the quarterback, and you get a stopgap for this year, all right? Kind of like Justin Fields was supposed to be, only maybe they can actually get somebody, I don't know, who can throw. That'll be good. And then at that point, if you're punting on the quarterback and you've got a stopgap, well, then you want somebody like Tyrod Taylor to be a number two just because he's reliable. And again, maybe Brady Cook is quarterback three, QB three, or practice squad. Now, the other thing, and I think this is on the table as well. I think this pipe dream about Joe Burrow getting traded to the Jets, and I know that he sounds miserable, and I know that he's starting to play miserably. Wow, that was a rough one yesterday. I still don't think he's coming here. I think Evan spent some time on that on whatever Wednesday, whatever it was. Not happening. And if it does, it'll be amazing, but it's not happening. But there still could be another aggressive trade for a quarterback that we don't yet know is available. So if you make that aggressive trade, and if it wouldn't be for stopgap, it would be for somebody who's actually really good, and you would still need a veteran backup, and then you can still have Cook on the roster somewhere, QB3, whatever. I think that there's three radically different ways to go about this. And I just wanted to say that about Cook because I think I've seen enough at least in a very, you know, when I say enough, I mean somebody who I'm interested in developing, you know, another year in the offseason, get him in a weight room, get him some more reps, whatever, see if he can't be quarterback three for a little bit. But you're either going to draft somebody early on, you know, aggressively through trade or wherever you wind up, you're going to either punt on the quarterback or there's going to be an aggressive trade or like that stopgap. So I think while there's a couple of options, I don't know what they'll do yet, but it's going to be one of those, I can promise you. Let me get Jake in. Okay.
What's going on, BC?
Jake, do me a favor. Jake, hold on one sec. Let's put him on hold. All right, the Jets just fired Steve Wilks. All right, you know, I'm certainly don't want to celebrate somebody's firing, but it's the right move. I mean, they don't even want to tackle this team. My God. Now, I will say that the Jets, they have absolutely nobody on defense. Their pass rush is invisible, and they're just playing too many guys out of position. You can't win that way, especially against Trevor Lawrence and, you know, an offense that's been humming. But there's just too many times. The last two games, there you go. It's like, man, the Jaguars, the Dolphins. Now, let's be honest with you. We don't need to waste a lot of time on Wilks here, but this is a little bit of a hit on Aaron Glenn. So I do think that Aaron Glenn could grow into a very good coach. But let's look at the, and thanks for that, Hoff. Think about the decisions that he's made. All right? Of course, you've got to run it through the GM and, you know, there's checkpoints here. But he had the latitude to hire his own DC, and he hired somebody who was awful. And really, that move was criticized basically as soon as it went down. So that's an X in the column for Aaron Glenn. The quarterback decision. Now, I've always believed that it was more Woody who kicked Aaron Rodgers out of the building because of what happened, some of the things Aaron said about his son, whatever, a little power play, which, by the way, I guess I get to an extent. I mean, it's a little petty, but it's Woody's team, and he can do whatever he wants. But then I believe that it was Aaron Glenn who co-signed strongly, along with Muji, that they thought that Justin Fields could get the job done. Justin Fields pretty much stunk this year. So let me get this straight. The defensive coordinator that you brought in, awful job. QB1 that you brought in, awful. Lost his job, hurt, he'll be cut. And there'll be about $22 million worth of dead money attached to the Jets salary cap next year. Those are two decisions that are on, you know, somewhat prominently at the top of Aaron Glenn's resume. That's a problem. That's a little bit of an issue. Nothing that you can't work around. Nothing that a good offseason, some good draft picks, maybe even a win or two down the stretch. Not that I want that at this point, given what the Jets are trying to do with the draft here. But, you know, when you're a defensive coach and you're brought in here, and the Jets had some remnants of, but they had at least a few good defenders, you know? Now, they traded two of them, to be fair, some injuries as well. But when you're a defensive coach and you just get waxed, destroyed. I mean, they weren't even competitive the last couple games. You don't get a pass. If you know, in my evaluation of Aaron Glenn, you don't. Now, you also do get a chance to, all right, I made the wrong move. Now let me hire somebody else. But there's only so many times that you can kick this downstream. Same thing with Daboll and his defensive coordinators. Hey, Wink was terrific. Ah, now we have a power play. Ah, now we got a little friction. All right, Wink, you got to go. All right, bring in the new guy. He's not doing a good job. All right, get rid of him. Well, you know what? You got to go, the head coach. Like, it can't always be somebody else. Sometimes thumbs got to hit chest. And I hope that Glenn learns from this. But I give the Jets credit. Like, that was so embarrassingly inept. So without any sort of want or desire to have somebody, and again, trust me, if there's anybody sensitive to this now, it's certainly me, but to continue to employ somebody whose defense didn't even look like they wanted to tackle is the wrong message, big picture. All right, so he's out. 888-808-1019. It is BT here on The Fan. We get back to Jake in New Jersey. What's going on, Jake? How are you?
BC, how are you, my man?
I'm good. What's happening, man?
So man, I'm young. I'm 23 years old, and for my entire life, I can remember the Jets just being so poor, putting out poor players on the field, poor coaching staff. My family's had season tickets for as long as I can remember, and I go to suffer at these games every single week.
Yep.
I just want to know when this is going to end. I saw this tweet yesterday. Now, I don't know how true it was. It said this is the 14th consecutive season the Jets started an undrafted player at the quarterback position. Now, that could be totally
false. Is that true?
But the fact that we have to sit there and think if it's true or false is unreal.
That's the thing.
I'm just getting so tired of this franchise, and it's getting so hard to support them. It truly is.
Well, Jake, you know the options, my man. You sound resilient. Your parents have been battle-tested. They pass it on to you. Lucky you. You got two choices. You either quit rolling, you know, you keep rolling with the Jets here, or you quit. That's it. And I know you're not going to quit. Because
I'm not a quitter. Exactly. I'm not a quitter there, BT. I'll always be with the squad to the end. Go. That's all.
Exactly. You just want to talk through it, do a little therapy. That's why we're here, Jake. Thank you for the call. My God. I mean, he's 23 years old. He's a pup. Come on. He's not even out of the kennel yet, man. He's not even out of the nest yet. And the scars run down. How do you think I feel? You know, and it's funny, too, because nobody carries the scars like Beningo. But even I think that that's been hijacked. At least Joe saw a Super Bowl. What have I seen? Seen who guts? What have we seen? Nothing. There is no way. And Jake, that's an interesting stat. He said that the Jets have started an undrafted quarterback at various points in each of the last 14 seasons. No way is that. That can't be true. There's no way that that's true. There's no way. I mean, there's been a couple, but I think his ultimate point as well, the fact that you have to think about that to make sure that it's not. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe it is true. I mean, all these quarterbacks just blend into one blurry mess of slop, you know? Maybe he's right. Maybe that is a true stat. But the real point is that we got to kind of go through chronologically, well, I don't know, 15 years, we hit this guy here, maybe? Tells you all you need to know. 888-808-1019, it's BT on The Fan, Brandon Tierney. Here we get back to these calls. So, Steve Wilks out as the DC, and a dilemma. Obviously, got to get the G-Men fans involved here. I mean, I understand that things have changed in the world. I mean, but good God, I'm going to take a word that we used to use a lot on this show. Would you please sack up? Oh, sit down, Jackson Dart, so he doesn't get hurt. I mean, if you subscribe to that, you are pathetic. And I'll tell you why coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.